Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like
spookathons.
I'm really like to self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, I did a little like journaling on the new moon, which was last night. New moon in Capricorn.
I'm sorry, for a second I thought you were journaling about new moon like the Twilight movie, and I'm like,
no,
okay, we all have our things.
Like, are you team Jacob or team Edward?
Well, I know you're team Jacob and I'm team Edward, so
duh, makes sense. It does. But yeah, so I was like doing some journaling, and it was just kind of like setting some intentions, and I think I've got some intentions set to just be more intentional about my energy and where my attention goes, and you know, setting some boundaries when I feel depleted, I'm allowed to say no.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, I just did a little nice journaling.
Except for to me, you can't say no.
Not to you.
I love doing that to people. I'm like, you gotta set boundaries except for with me. Just kidding. Please.
So yeah, boundaries. It was like a cute little, I don't know, new moon thing.
That's good. That's awesome.
What'd you do?
You don't care about what I'm about to talk about.
Sports bomb.
Hey guys, the Broncos are in the AFC championship. They're probably gonna lose.
Wait, why are you saying that?
Bo Nix got injured.
Not Bo Nix.
Listen, this is actually really upsetting me.
Okay.
But the Broncos made the AFC championship. Me and Scott, and he ditched me twice. We went to On the Rocks. Well, I went really early. And because like,
wait, Keith, you went early to what?
I went to this bar really early so I could get us a table. Keith was tailgating. Otherwise, I like would have had Keith with
me. Okay.
And I call Scott, and he's like, he works a late shift. So I call him at like 1, and I was like, hey, you haven't texted me back. And he's like, I just woke up. And I was like, oh God. And I'm like almost to the restaurant. I was like, am I going to be chilling by myself? And he's like, yeah, sorry. So he shows up, and we're like, hang out, talk about the Broncos, talking about like all the happenings in our life.
Sure.
And then he's like, I have a haircut.
A haircut?
So he leaves to his haircut.
What?
And he comes back. I was Steven Glansberging it up. Like, have you seen Superbad?
Oh, okay.
You know that guy who eats... Are you going to make me say to myself like I'm Stephen fucking Glansberg? Oh. That's what I think about every time.
I was like, what?
But it was such a fun game. It was really exciting. I think you even would have enjoyed it. It was really...
debatable.
You might have enjoyed... You would have like enjoyed seeing people's reactions.
Okay, probably.
But yeah, they made it to the AFC Championship, and I think it's probably end of the road because of our injury. But I hope I listen to this and I'm like,
not with that attitude.
I'm being negative because I'm being real. We're against the Patriots, Danae. Well, the Patriots, do you know anything?
Go Broncos.
Go Broncos. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
But yeah.
Roni likes to say go Broncos.
Yeah. He sometimes says go Bears, but we gotta nip that one, bud. Every time he says that, I'm like, everyone's like, how cute. I'm like, it's not cute. We gotta end that.
All right, well, maybe they'll be fine despite the injury of Bo Nix.
But that was really...
Did you like Steven's text to the group chat where my mom like immediately fell for it, where he was like,
sports party,
someone was like, Bo Nix is injured or something, and then someone was like, who's gonna replace him? And then Steven was like, probably Sporty McBallington. And then my mom was like, she's like, well, actually, it's this person. She's like, I'll have to look into Sporty McBallington. I'm like,
she was trying to be funny.
I was like, Are you being serious?
Was it on the podcast or was it like in a text when I called you Football Danae? I was like, that's why we call you Football Danae.
I don't know.
I almost said, it's obviously going to be Football Danae is what I almost said. Danae. And then I was like, I don't know if anyone will get that joke.
I think sometimes moms, because like his mom will do that too, where we'll like send a joke in the group chat and she like takes it literally and is like, oh really? And it's like, no,
I'll
it's
have
a
to
joke.
Research that. Yeah. It's like, you don't have to research
please
it.
Please don't. It's a
in
joke.
In fact, please don't, because
which
you're
makes
not find
it like
much.
Funnier.
Bodie McBoatface, like that thing.
Oh my god. Anyways, sports, we love them.
Okay, my wedding was orange and blue for a reason. It was not
for Broncos.
Yeah.
Oh.
My wedding. Keith's a Broncos fan too, so
okay.
It was fine.
It's fine.
Well, I had orange flowers and you guys were all wearing blue.
Okay, I was trying to think what was orange.
Yeah, my flowers.
Okay, the flowers.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, you want flowers, but everyone's wearing blue. I was like, I have a method to my madness. There's worse things. I could have had an ICP themed wedding.
I was thinking like someone was wearing like orange dresses or something. So I was like, who is what orange?
No, I love you guys too much to make you wear orange dresses.
Thank God.
No, I think orange is one of my favorite colors. Probably
no, I love orange, which is not
but sometimes
cute on
when you
everyone
yeah it doesn't I that's why I picked the blue color because I feel like it looked,
that looks good on
it looks
everyone.
Good on everyone so yeah. And you all looked lovely so
we did
yeah thank you for coming
gorgeous okay what are you gonna tell me about today
okay so I know we say we don't want to do like serial killers but I'm doing one but it's not. It's not one. I feel like, yes, everyone knows the story, but everyone might not know the full story. Okay. Eileen Wuornos.
I'm so excited.
I know we say it, guys.
Okay, but I'm stoked about this because honestly, like, good for her. Like,
oh, yes.
I'm saying this as a feminist and sort of like, she's kind of like, fuck the system. They didn't protect us in kind of way.
Okay, like I get where you're going with it, but I'm like, I feel like
it's still bad.
Yeah.
It's still bad and you shouldn't just kill people because that is bad and wrong.
See, I feel like we've heard about the story a lot, you know, and we've talked about how we're not gonna do
good.
Today's expression is top notch. But we talk about how we're not gonna do like BTK and Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy.
I don't think she's covered as much as those kind of people.
Not even kind of. And that's why I like excused it and I only had a short amount of time to research this case.
I'm really excited.
So have you ever seen the movie Monster?
No.
Can I tell you?
Or maybe I did.
Can I tell you a fun little fact about it? Okay.
Yeah.
So Charlize Theron is in it and she is
gorgeous.
Beautiful. Yeah. Like she is absolutely
stunning.
Like it's stupid how beautiful she is.
Yeah, like stop.
It took her in all of her movie history, it took more time to make her look like Eileen Wuornos than any other character.
They're like, we gotta ug you up.
Yeah, so it took much more time to make her ugly.
You're too beautiful, Charlize.
Please look away. But yeah, I thought that was like an interesting fact. And they made her like her lover in the movie, Christina Ricci. Let her be beautiful. Yeah. So like two beautiful women playing
serial
not
killers.
Beautiful women.
I'm sorry.
I hate doing
I'm
that.
Sorry,
but
they were like on the street.
Yeah.
Like
they were,
you know, if we were on the street, we'd probably be not looking cute either.
Yeah. Look at my chin. It's breaking out. It's crazy up in here. So, all right. And I just want to put the caveat up front that if any of the information sounds incorrect, she's changed her story. So you'll hear something somewhere and you'll hear something else. So I'm going with what I heard the most. But if anyone's like, that's not true, well, guess what? She told somebody at some time because she couldn't tell the truth. And maybe she forgot too.
Yeah. I mean, I can barely remember last week.
Tomorrow.
I was like, wow, are you a fortune teller?
This is weird. You find out this way.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm excited to know the deets.
I just
maybe
give,
I'll change my stance. And that was kind of a strong opinion at the beginning.
It's fine. You know what? You don't know the story. So, and I do want to say some of the details are a little bit foggy too, because she also has changed the story. So I try to, so if anything's like, that's kind of unclear, you can ask for clarification. I'll try, but it's just, the story's
a lot
changed and stuff like that.
A lot of
and I
details.
Think she's forgotten stuff too. All right. She was born February 29th, 1956 in Rochester, Michigan. She loved her grandparents. She said they were very proper when they interviewed her. So her parents were alcoholics. Her father was in and out of jail. And one day her mom dropped her and her brother Keith off, her older brother Keith off at their house to spend time with them. And then she just left.
They just never came back. Mm-hmm.
And then the grandparents ended up adopting them.
Oh, wow.
But when they interviewed her, and I watched the interview, she's like, they were very proper, very religious. But, and this wasn't discussed in that particular interview, but her grandpa was like an alcoholic and he was an abuser. And it said he probably raped her.
Oh.
Sexually assaulted her.
Oh, no.
But she didn't discuss that in the interview. And that's one of the things that is a little bit murky if it did happen or if it didn't. Potentially her brother might have done it too. Again, nobody really knows.
And that's based off of things that she's said here and there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And in the interview, she talked lovingly. And I think her grandma was a really sweet woman. But did her grandma know what was going on? Who's to say? But that's, you know.
Hmm.
So in the 1970s, her grandma passed away and she ran away after that. And I'm like, you're not, and she was like 14, and you're not running away at 14 because things are going well for you.
Yeah, like that things are hard.
Yeah, exactly.
If like living on the streets is better than
Living with,
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I was like, oh, she said they were really great. And I'm like, well, you're not 14 running away when things are going really well.
Yeah.
So she said, and it's not clear, she was on the road for 4 years.
Oh.
She ended up in Colorado, and she got a DUI, and she was also shooting outside the window. So they didn't pull her over because of that. They pulled her over because she was shooting out the window.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just want to say, so she was in the system. She would get arrested for like stealing and stuff like that. So they had her fingerprints in the system.
Okay.
But it's not entirely clear what exactly happened.
Okay.
So in an interview, she said she was constantly on the road for 4 years. She was like, I was always on the road 24/7. And she also said at this time she was constantly getting sexually assaulted by whoever she was with at that time. What was kind of confusing about like her being in Colorado was she had a car or did she not have a car?
Hmm.
I'm not entirely sure about that.
But she didn't have a home.
She didn't have a home. And when she ran away, she was actually pregnant.
Oh.
And
at 14?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And that's a point in my notes. I put it in a weird spot. That may also be
why she ran away.
Yeah.
If your grandparents are super religious.
They don't know what happened to the baby. So it's not, did she have the baby? Did she have a miscarriage? Did she adopt the baby out?
Yeah.
It's not entirely clear.
Oh.
So her brother Keith unfortunately died of cancer in 1976, but he left her $10,000. So, and she blew through that money. She purchased herself a car, but she just, you know, when you're given $10,000, and this is in 1976. So
that's like a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. I didn't do the math. I probably should have done the math to figure out how much. But like, and they're like, she blew through that in 2 months. I was like, I could do that. And then I was like, well, it's probably a lot. Like now that would be easy to do. That would be just 2 months of expenses. But anyways, so she bought a car, but she just didn't save or anything. And there's not a whole lot of information on it, but Eileen ended up marrying an older gentleman who was like the president of a yacht club. So it didn't work out because there was an annulment. She had beat him with her cane.
Oh.
Or with her cane, with his cane.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And he got that annulled and he got a restraining order from her. And she was like living lavish for a while. But immediately after they got married, because she had gone to Florida.
Yeah.
Because she was on the road 24/7. She ended up in Florida after getting her brother's money and all that. And yeah, she beat this man with her cane, with his cane. God. And
do we know why? Like,
she just was self-destructive. Okay. It was just she would go to bars and still get in fights and stuff. But she could have lived lavish, but she decided not to. And yeah, he got a restraining order.
Wow.
Things are going well. So Eileen was kind of a bit of a transient when she moved to Florida. And I mean, if you're going to be like on the streets. You probably want to be in a warmer climate.
Yeah.
But she never really had a home and she was mostly living on the streets, but she would have short stretches here and there where she would meet somebody and live with them for a little bit. And she ended up in Daytona Beach. Have you ever been there?
No, I've never been to Florida.
Oh, awkward. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I've been to Disney World. That's why I've gone. And I went to Orlando. I don't know. I think Florida, I would not want to live there, but Florida to visits, I think it's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
We went to Miami.
Some great beaches.
Drink some froze. It was so nice. But in 1986, Eileen was at a gay bar called the Zodiac, and she had met her lover named Tyra Moore. And I'm either going to refer to her as Tyra or Ty. Okay. So if you're like, who's that? It's the same person. And at that point, Ty was 24 years old. They quickly began living together, and Eileen kind of wanted to get her act together and be able to support both of them and not live on the streets anymore. And jobs were hard to come by, so Eileen started working as a sex worker to support the both of them. She said that Ty didn't have to lift a finger. Like, she would do everything for Ty.
Oh.
But they were constantly moving from different hotels, like, you know, like the short stay hotels and stuff.
Sure.
And in the documentary, this was kind of fucked up, but one of the investigators were like, we don't know how she found any clients.
Wow. Okay. Rude.
And they're like, because of the way she looked. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Men will do anything. Men. Like, as long as you have a hole.
No offense. That's what I said. But I was like,
they don't care.
Yeah. So, at one point, yeah, so she was like a sex worker and she had said, and I know this is somewhere down in my notes, so if I repeat it twice, she said she had 400 Johns.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like regulars?
I don't know, regulars or just in general, okay. But that's a lot.
Okay.
So at one point, the two of them were just kind of going around town and living their best lives, driving in stolen cars from victims. And a report of two women shooting at men comes out and people are like, that's weird. Why is this happening? And they would put pictures out of them. Like, people had seen their pictures. Mm-hmm. So they put pictures out of them. And one of the pictures they showed, it looked like stick figures with like hair.
Stop.
It's like, okay. Hope they find them.
Like, that could be anyone.
I saw it and I like cackled. Like,
who's the artist?
So
we gotta get a better one.
There's a movie and it's gonna be in our show, or a documentary on Netflix that's gonna be in our show notes, but that's what I watched, and I was giggling a lot, like an unfortunate amount. So a bar that was frequented in the area was called The Last Resort. And people were talking about this female serial killer. And in the 80s, apparently, true crime was all the rage.
Yeah.
Movies about that were, like, all over the place. And this producer was like, well, maybe this person goes to this bar. So a producer left a note at The Last Resort that said, if you're the woman killing men, please call me.
Okay.
I'll hide your identity.
I just want to buy your story. Like,
she had a hunch.
Oh, she had a hunch.
Yeah, it was a woman producer. And she's like, I'll keep your secret. I just want to buy your story.
Okay.
So when Eileen was a sex worker, she was killing men at the same time. And she had seven victims. And we don't know a lot about their backstories, but I'll say like their ages. Because a few of my sources were like, we shouldn't mention the men's names if we don't know any stories about them. And I'm like, you know what? That's fair. I will say the first man, because they did have a trial for him, and his name was Richard Mallory. He was 51. He was the first victim. In December 1989, he was found December 13th, but Eileen had said she killed him November 1989, represent. At this point, many of his items were found at a pawn shop with fingerprints, and this is what they testified was what helped them find her, and she shot him twice. And they found his car and there was like evidence in the car, like fingerprints and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And at this point, there was a man that was 47 that she had killed. There was another man that was 40. There was a man who's 65, and some of his items were also found in a pawn shop, which had fingerprints on them along with the fingerprints in his car. A woman had seen Ty and Eileen leaving the scene of an accident when they wrecked his car that Eileen had stolen from him. So they put another picture out of these two women because they found out the car was stolen from a man who had been murdered.
Okay.
It's another man that was 50. And the second to last man was the most brutal. He was 56 and they found 7 bullets.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, 7 bullets. And it was typically 2 is what they found.
Yeah, that's like overkill. Why are you shooting someone 7 times?
And then the last known victim, they say there could be more, but these are the only ones that she admitted to,
sure,
was 61.
Oh, wow.
So bodies were spread out all over different counties in a 12-month period in the woods.
Hmm.
The cars were always found a few miles away from their... The bodies were always found like a few miles away from the cars. And a lot of people thought that looked a lot like her, like the pictures that they had seen.
Right.
Because they had the one picture that kind of looked like stick figures. I'm like, well, that's helping no one.
And then like an actual...
But there were so many things. And like, she was very unpleasant is what people said. She was very unpleasant and loud.
Okay.
So, and they linked and people were like, it could be her. So they linked the fingerprints to her because she was in the system. And that's why I told you immediately that she was already in the system. And that's how they were able... Shockingly, I had to really search for how they actually found her. They're like, well, they arrest her. And I'm like, well,
but like,
how did they link her? She had left.
It was just her being obnoxious. And people were like, maybe it's her.
Maybe it's her. Well, she was in the system and people had said they'd seen her. Yeah. And the picture looked like her. So a lot of it like linked to her and everything. And I'm like, well, thank God she was in the system. But that's like how they found her. And they found a receipt for the pawn shop that had her name on the receipt too. Yeah. So it was like, and her fingerprints were all over their cars that were abandoned. So yeah, people at the last resort knew who she was. And yeah, she was aggressive. And in 1991, and this is filmed, she was arrested at the bar by a man who pretended to be one of the bikers who frequented the bar.
Oh.
She was like arrested. And in the movie Monster, that part happened. I'm like, I wonder if that really was the way. And it was. Little less dramatic, but you know, movies have to make it dramatic.
But was she like pretty like aggressive? And
yeah, she was just like not very pleasant is what they said. So like she stuck out already and then she did all this stuff and they had pictures and her fingerprints. I mean, bingo bango. So she at this time contacted the producer and said, I was the woman who was killing men. And the producer's like, great, let's talk.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, Ty Moore was the one who asked Eileen to come forward and admit what she had done.
Oh.
Just be like, you need to admit what you've done because I don't want to go down for stuff you had done.
Okay.
And the two had broken up in December 1990, and she said that her and Eileen broke up because she had seen sketches of Eileen, but I'm pretty sure she knew.
Wait, was she not involved?
She was involved. But she's like, I saw sketches. It was so crazy.
But
she didn't want to be implicated because it was Eileen doing all that. But I think she was covering it up. But people to this day were like, we don't know if she did know or not. I'm like,
okay. She probably knew.
Be so for real. But yeah, she didn't want to go to prison for stuff that Eileen had done, which I don't blame her in the slightest. And police contacted her sometime in 1991, questioned her a little bit, and then asked her to call Eileen and talk to her, and they recorded the phone call. She basically was like, Eileen, they've been contacting my sister. And Eileen's like, why are they contacting your sister? And she's like, I don't know. It's pretty. The phone call's like...
intense.
She deserves an Academy Award because she's like acting like... you know what you did. You have to admit. But like, and Eileen had no idea she was being recorded. And you see in the courtroom, Eileen realizing
that she's like,
they
played
the tapes.
Oh.
And Eileen is just like, oh, you stabbed me in the back.
Yeah.
So Tyra told the police she was worried that Eileen was going to be able to lie her way out of it because she was very manipulative.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, she had no idea she was being recorded, and they played it in court, and Eileen just started crying.
Uh-oh.
Eileen did say that she wanted to protect Ty, so she didn't get caught up in all this. She's like, Ty had no involvement. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what happened, but...
we don't know. That's what she said.
Yeah. So let me tell you a little side story. I don't know why. This part made me laugh because I'm like, this woman is so fucking delusional.
Okay.
There was a lady who was a farm worker and she and her husband adopted Eileen.
What?
Eileen is a full grown woman, but they legally made sure she was their daughter. Okay. This woman's name is Arlene.
Arlene and Eileen. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And I had never heard the story before. This woman was like, yeah, we didn't see her as the brutal murderer that everyone said she was.
Why did they adopt her?
I don't know. This is a weird side story.
They met her and they were just like, we love you.
Yeah, we love you. We'll legally make you our daughter.
Okay.
So they said that their phone bill was $1,200 a month because they would talk to her all the time. 1991, a phone bill of $1,200.
I don't even know how much.
Talking in prison is expensive. So.
Oh, it was prison calls, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they would talk to her and they'd talk to her about Jesus and all that stuff. And Eileen was like, yep, sounds neat.
Yep. Love that for me.
So much Jesus. But to me, it didn't sound like she was actually like, I think she was just like, oh, I have somebody to talk to. They probably weren't giving her commissary and all that stuff too.
Huh.
So while in court, I said, I'm going to say this again. She admitted there had been 400 men, but the question a lot of people were saying was like, well,
why these ones?
Why these seven?
Yeah.
If you had 400 different men.
I'm sure like a lot of them sucked, right?
Yeah, but also like,
she why lied these specific so much. Ones?
Yeah, exactly.
And in this specific time frame.
Exactly. So her insane adoptive mother, my notes say that, said that Eileen was a perfect little angel until she met Ty Moore.
Uh-oh.
But she never committed these murders until she met Ty Moore. Ty Moore made her crazy.
Okay.
I was just like, huh.
Okay. Yeah, and then what?
So let me tell you about the trial. Basically, the only evidence they really found that they were able to go to trial about was Richard Mallory, the first man.
Yeah.
So her fingerprints were in the car. Her fingerprints were on the stuff she had pawned. And she was found guilty of first-degree murder and weapons possession. And the trial started on January 13th, and she was sentenced to the electric chair on January 31st, 1992. At the trial, what was really messed up is that, and this is just like for justice sake, they would ask her about the other murders and she'd start talking. They're like, we're not talking about the other murders. We're talking about Richard Mallory specifically. And she had told a story where he had raped her in the car. Mm. Like, she's like, we were doing our thing. And she said that he had, like, trigger warning, like, anally raped her.
Oh, God.
That didn't happen. And she admitted that later. She's like, that was the only thing I could think of. What really happened, no one knows what the real story is. Because she told the story about how he handcuffed her to the steering wheel and kept her there for, like, hours.
Oh.
And in the movie, Monsters depicted what, what could have happened. But she did say a lot of that she fabricated because she wanted to get out of this. However, Richard Mallory was a convicted rapist.
Mm.
So that's something to think about.
So potentially that is true.
Potentially that is true.
So he handcuffed her and then he just let her go and then she killed him? Like, you know, how does that
What work? She said the story was he handcuffed her to the wheel and he basically was like, now you have to be a good girl, I'll fucking kill you.
Okay.
And then she reached into her bag and grabbed her gun and shot him. So it's the story.
So she's kind of trying to say that it was self-defense.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what she said with a lot of these men, that it was self-defense and they raped her at that time. I'm confused too, because as a sex worker, I don't really know how that works.
Yeah. And it still is kind of like, why is it these, if you've had 400 clients before, why is it these specific men in this span of a year?
Yeah.
Or are you just like, or does this happen all the time?
Well, it's like, it's 2%. And now you're just
fucking sick of it.
It's 2% of the cases. Cause like I rounded it up to 8, and like 8 divided by 400 is like 2% of cases. So, but who knows?
But like, yeah, is this like a regular occurrence? And now you're just like, I'm so fucking over this. Like, but you also, I don't know, like, yeah, like
They did a call out asking men who had been with her, but like a lot of people weren't gonna.
Well, yeah, what are they gonna say? Yeah, I raped her. Like,
yeah, well,
they don't want to admit that they're a John.
Like, yeah, exactly. So after this, and at this point, she was like, I just want to die. I don't want to deal with this. Like, I did it. I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I don't want to live anymore. But they wanted her to do pleas essentially for the 6 other men that had been murdered. And her adoptive mother told her she should just plead guilty or no contest. Because at this point, she had already been sentenced to an electric chair.
Yeah, like, the point of, like...
I think for the families to feel like they got some sort of justice.
Yeah.
Maybe. And because I thought the same thing.
Well, I mean, like, what's the point to fight it on her end? Like,
exactly, yeah, like exactly.
You should just...
say guilty, because the electric chair, yeah. So, she stood trial for the other ones, just basically pleas, and people kept doing appeals for her. Hmm. And she was sick of the appeals. She didn't want to do them anymore.
Hmm.
And one of the victim's sisters thanked her for stopping the appeals and putting them through trauma. She's like, yeah, I appreciate that you don't want to do these appeals anymore, because this is reintroducing trauma to us. And I was like, I do like that she mentioned that so they would stop trying to do all these appeals. And just in jail, she would talk to anyone who wanted to talk to her. And the documentary I watched, one of the ladies, she's like, you're going to be a millionaire after this. And she gave one of her most revealing prison interviews in 1997. And this woman talked to her, and just they had formed a kind of relationship because this woman had been through some trauma. And she saw a lot of like herself and Eileen, like what Eileen had gone through. So she tried to be a sense of support for her. So they talked for a lot of years. She did this interview, and she released the interview. And, you know, on October 8th, she was in Australia. October 8th, 2002, she had actually come to the States to be there as a support for Eileen. Mm-hmm. Eileen didn't ask her to be in the room, because when you're doing
for the execution?
Chair, yeah, she didn't ask her to be there, but the lady stood out, and she's like, I lit 2 candles, one for Eileen and one for her victims.
Oh, wow.
Outside the... And then, like, she was put to death October 9th, 2002, and the last thing she requested was a cup of coffee. And, yeah, that's kind of the story. And what's crazy is in 2003, they came out with Monster.
Yeah.
And... it's just kind of crazy, the story. It's a hard story to do,
yeah,
because there's a lot of trauma, but a lot of the stories, we don't know what's real and what's not.
Yeah. Well, and did she ever like say like why, like, or it was just kind of like they're
no.
Yeah, like we don't know. That's so crazy.
Yeah, so it's one that it's not a long story, and there doesn't need to be a lot of detail to it, but it's like it's hard to put together because she did change her story so many times.
Yeah.
So
I thought I like had recalled like some clips of her being like, you know, law enforcement doesn't protect us, like, you know, and she was like angry in that sense, and that's was like one of her
beginning of her being sentenced, she was, and then she was then she realized, I think, I lied about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of it comes from, is because like
she was like trying to justify it.
Yeah, she's like, I did lie about a lot of things, and like even at the end, it's like, who knows what's true and what's not. But
yeah,
I feel bad for her growing up. Like that must have been so hard, but it didn't justify what she had done.
Yeah, like a lot of people unfortunately have to endure childhood abuse, but that doesn't mean they just like go out killing people.
Yeah,
because of it, like it's kind of your responsibility to deal with your trauma and figure out how you can do that. And I think there's more avenues today. And I don't know. I mean, it is harder, especially if you're unhoused and you're living on the streets.
I just felt so bad what she went through with her family. Yeah. And being unhoused, I'm sure she just
like, even in today's standards, it's like, how would you try to,
how do you navigate this?
Deal with that kind of trauma.
Yeah. So it's like, I feel really bad for what she went through, but it doesn't justify like what the end result was. And I hope I got as much accurate, but again,
For sure.
And who knows?
Yeah.
And the producer, they did make a movie, but I had never heard of the movie, so I don't know how well it did. It was like a Lifetime status movie. I don't remember what the title was. But yeah, it was like during that time when like all of the stories, all the movies coming out were like based on true crime.
Mm, yeah.
So
interesting. Well, yeah, maybe don't kill people.
Yeah. So that's Eileen Warrenhaus. We'll have pictures of stuff on our Instagram, like of all the things.
Yeah.
I'll try to get those. I'll try to find those, the stick figures for you.
Yeah. That would be find the stick figure really mugshot or not the mugshot. The,
if I have to take a picture of my TV screen, I'll do it because it's like so worth it. But that'll be Mysterious Mavens Pod just on Instagram.
Yeah. And if you have stories that you would like us to cover or comments, questions, whatever, self-care tips, you can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Guys, you can just say hi.
Also, like, we have stickers. So if you want a sticker, let us know. We'll send you a sticker.
Yeah. Or a friendship bracelet.
Or both.
IDK. Yeah, let us know. But yeah, we love suggestions. I do them right away. They get pushed to the top of the pile. So.
For sure.
All right. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. And please rate us, five stars. And then we'll get ourselves in front of people like you. All right. Okay. Bye. Bye.